My name is John, and I'm a sinner, and you are too. But here in this community, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. Because we're starting with step one, and step one is admitted that we were powerless over our ultimate problem, and our lives had become unmanageable. We get reminders of our powerlessness all the time. One of them will be, actually, in this video. I had done it before. And then I sent it off to my team. However, I have this really cool equipment, thanks to those of you who made it possible here in this office. And I don't even have to run hardly any of it. I'm technologically grossly incompetent. There's a little screen that I can look at that tells me what it is that I'm supposed to do. And the team had put a reminder on that screen. Be sure you turn the lights on, point the camera mic to your mouth, and then the last one told me how to get rid of this message on the screen. But I didn't get rid of the message on the screen, and so the whole thing filmed with the message on the lens of the camera that is shooting the story. So I got to do over again. I got to kind of read some of what I wrote, so apologize for that ahead of time, but just take it as a reminder of my weakness. Sometimes it comes in much more dire ways. Nancy and I have a real good friend who just got a very, very serious diagnosis. And we are praying for him. So many folks in our community, we pray for. I'm grateful to pray for. But, you know, you find out there's something in my body, and with all of our technology and medical science, and so we can't make it stop. We're powerless over death, for sure. I live in the Southern California area now, and as you know, the fires out here have been horrendous. And they're another reminder for all the ways that we think we're in control of our world. There's, you know, these horrible things that happen that remind us, no, we're not. We can do something. Nancy and I are giving to the Salvation Army. There's a number of places, but Salvation Army is one that is bringing relief to folks that are in Southern California. And if you want to, you can donate through them. I just heard last night somebody who's a firefighter said, the main thing with fires is you don't want to fight fires ultimately. You want to fight the source of the fire. And the source is fuel and oxygen and ignition. And now as we look at the problem in our own lives, I'm not the person that I want to be. We have to look at what's the source of that. And the source of it is my own powerlessness. I can't change this. So my word for you today is don't wait for a crisis. Don't wait for a natural disaster. Don't wait for a diagnosis. Start by looking at reality and admitting powerlessness right now, today. Don't wait for a crisis. As you might know, in the recovery movement, there are a thousand stories that try to bring wisdom home in a real sticky way. One of them is a young man named Mike who died from drinking, and two of his friends were commiserating about it together. And one of them said he was only 32 years old. He was a great athlete. He was in the prime of life. He had everything to live for, but the drink killed him. And his friend asked, did he ever try AA? Oh, no, he wasn't that bad. No, I'm not that bad. Like, acknowledge my powerlessness, engage in a way of life through which I can receive a power beyond myself. No. I'm not going to actually surrender to God and turn my will over to him and do a fearless and certain. No, I'm not that bad. Saying that I'm not that bad can actually be one of the great barriers to entering into a life where I'm receiving that power from God. And so step one is the foundation that's laid over and over again in the Bible. In particular, right now, I want to talk about the words that are written by the Apostle Paul, who expressed it maybe as powerfully as anybody ever has. It's a universal observation. In the ancient Greek world, Epictetus, and later on Ovid talked about, I see better, but I do worse. But every human being has to come to grips with this problem. This is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome in chapter 7, starting with verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know the good itself doesn't dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, This I keep on doing. What a wretched person I am. That's what Paul said. And every human being who is honest has to say, I want to be generous. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to be joyful. I want to create wonderful moments. I want to be merciful and forgiving. But I don't do those things. And I do things that I hate. I self-promote and I gossip. And this is my fallen state. Now, we all need to be rescued from this. We all need to be redeemed. And I remember hearing a talk years ago that Dallas Willard gave at Westmont College. Now, I've re-listened to that talk over and over. There was a phrase that I remember from that talk, but I could never hear it listening to it. And then his daughter, Becky, had it on a podcast recently, and she actually had this quote. She said, Dallas had it on a slide, but he didn't actually say it. That's why you couldn't hear it in the audio. And he was talking about what life could be. In fact, not long before Dallas died, I was with him with a few other people, and he was kind of looking off in the distance, and he said, I regret that I've wasted so much of my life. And of course, all of us around him tried to say, no, you didn't, because for crying out loud, if Dallas Willard did, what hope is there for me? This absolutely brilliant human being knew the Bible, helped people, talked about that, did roofing, constructed stuff, loved music. I don't think I've ever known anybody who seemed like they were redeeming more minutes than Dallas would. But I think what was going on, as he explained it to us, was he had a vision of what life could be. He was talking to Westmont students about this, another statement that Paul makes, kind of a step one statement, redeem the time for the days are evil. And it's just, we all settle for a life of, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. When we're called for, from one moment to the next, a life that could be filled with nobility and inspiration and purpose and self-giving and sacrifice and joy and empathy and comforting those who are suffering and giving our own suffering to God. And he was talking about this begins by receiving our life as a gift one moment at a time. So he said to the Westmont students, you might start with this, give thanks to God for your next test. And there was a buzz going around the room because nobody in their right mind thanks God for a test. But Dallas was saying, you know, if you understand it right, your eternal well-being is not a risk with this test. Ultimately, what your grade is, what job you get, what grad school you get into, the blessed life together with God is available before you despite any kind of circumstances. So I can thank God. This is an opportunity to find out, what have I been learning? I was thinking of Sean Acor, who's a professor of happiness at Harvard University, talked about going to a township in South Africa and speaking to students from situations of desperate poverty and depression. And he realized when he was up in front of them, the stories that he would tell before elite privileged students that he often talked to back in the States were not going to connect here. So he was trying to think about some way to connect. And he thought of a universal problem. And he said, man, how many of you love homework? And his surprise, over 95% of the hands shot up. And he was expecting, of course, everybody just to groan. Nobody likes that. He asked somebody, why is everybody here so weird? And they told him, you know, these are mostly students from deeply impoverished backgrounds whose parents would never in a million years have the opportunity that they have right now. And the chance to learn, the thought that they could have access to books and study and exercises and problems that would raise their level of knowledge and open doors for them is such a wonderful thing for them. That they're just grateful for it. Here's the statement that Dallas made. Your time is already in the pawn shop of lost souls. Your time, mine, from one moment to the next, is already filled with anxiety and darkness and inadequacy and comparison of others and envy and selfishness. Your time is already in the pawn shop of lost souls. So Paul says, it's got to be redeemed, and I cannot do that. I cannot redeem my own time. So what do? Well, we come before God, and we acknowledge our powerlessness and the fact that we're not able to bring enough power. So my question for you today is, are you ready for step one? Andrew Murray was a great Christian writer and thinker, and this is what he writes. Again, this is just step one. It's all over the place. It is our weakness heartily accepted and continually realized. Weakness that enables us to connect with God, that enables us to depend on God. Continually realized, heartily accepted. So, I want to ask you right now, are you ready to take step one? Here's what it involves. Feel at the deepest, most painful level that you can, that you are powerless over really serious problems. I am unable to defeat the things that keep me from being the person I most want to be. Understand the meaning and the danger of denial. I'm not that bad. And then accept that all my efforts of self-management, all my willpower, all my self-reliance, I'm never going to get it done. So, if you're not there right now, keep working on step one. Ask God for willingness. But if you are, just tell him right now, God, I admit I am powerless over my greatest problems, my relational defects, my sin. I can't do it. I need help. My life is unmanageable. And if you have said that now, honestly from the heart, you have taken step one. But whatever you do, don't stop there. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th by the same name, Steps. So if you're catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order the book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. And when you pre-order, it will unlock exclusive content from John just for you. While you're there, you can subscribe to Become New to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series or any other videos that we do. As a community, we believe in spiritual growth one day at a time, and a big part of that is prayer. There's a team of us that meets each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a specific prayer request, we would love to pray with you. You can text it to us to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.